This is Healthcare Now Radio's Trending Now. Get ready for an exhilarating 30-minute ride through the latest topics driving change in digital health across the news and social media. Join us as our subject matter host takes the lead in uncovering what's hot and what's not. So buckle up and tune in to stay in the know.
Welcome to Trending Now on Healthcare Now Radio, where we explore the forefront of healthcare innovations and transformations. I'm your host, Shahid Shah. Today, we're thrilled to have Malike Amini. She's the CEO and founder of Trait Health. What's trending now and what Malike and I will discuss is the groundbreaking work of Trait in revolutionizing access to brain and behavioral healthcare. It's a really cool area because there's a lot of new technologies and new information that's coming out about how much our brains are influencing a lot of our health, especially social determinants of health. So social determinants of health and that intricate interplay between our brains, bodies, environments. So join us as we take this deep dive into topics around mental health and more trending topics. Malike, it's an honor to have you with us. To kick things off, let's delve into the social determinants of health. In a world that often looks for quick fixes, more like clear-cut diagnoses, easy to figure out problems with patients, that doesn't sound like mental health. So your approach actually introduces nuances, which we're really not good at in the healthcare world. So could you elaborate on these determinants and how they shape mental health of individuals, especially in the less visible aspects?
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me, Shahid. The social determinants in general, social determinants of health are very much talked about today, and there is a lot of evidence to the fact that the social determinants have an impact on access to healthcare and also on improving patient health outcomes. So a lot of initiatives are ongoing in addressing food insecurity, housing, transportation, and they've made some impact. But in reality, especially when it comes to mental health care, they don't go far enough. They're broad. They definitely have an impact on general health. But there are many other factors and risk factors when it comes to mental health care. So looking at childhood trauma, looking at more granular levels of life challenges, are very much pieces of data pieces that are going to be not only risk factors and indicative of whether individuals are going to demonstrate symptoms of behavioral health, but also how they respond to treatment. I'll use an example. It's always the easiest. Take two individuals who have depression and they're, let's say, adolescents. One of them lives in a supportive home and, is continuously provided with the opportunity to receive care and families are behind them. And then another one is either culturally limited or has a, let's say, an alcoholic dad at home. Number one, someone who is facing some of those challenges are going to be, and that individual is going to have a higher risk of showing symptoms of mental health and depression, even if there wasn't a medical condition behind it, but the life challenge in general can create that. And then no matter what kind of treatment you provide to that individual, until you provide at-home services and family therapy or remove the element of challenge in that life, such as an unsupportive family or a father who may not be fully present, until you remove those, that patient is not going to show significant improvement in their health outcomes because the causes and the risk factors are different than the chemistry. So many times you don't even need to medicate a patient. You can just provide the types of services they need in order to remove the elements that are causing those symptoms and the lifelong impacts of those. And that is what actually at Trait we call social determinants of mental health. They're much more granular. They're very much looking at the entire environment of a patient in addition to all of their health symptoms and potentially underlying medical conditions.
Got it. So that's a very cool name, the social determinants of mental health in this case. So it doesn't seem like there are probably a lot of people that disagree overall that mental health is important to our full well-being. What are the main challenges that you see as you're talking to health systems and people who are in the business today about dealing with the social determinants of mental health?
When you speak to the current, the standard of care today is limited in many different ways, right? Social determinants is only one of those, but it is limited. The information that a clinician receives typically is a periodic, episodic, kind of observation based, and much of the information is collected on a set of questionnaires, like a PHQ-9 for depression or GAT-7 for anxiety. And they really are, first off, pen and paper questionnaires. And, there are some companies that are really only focused on digitizing those for better clinical care. But those questionnaires really also don't go far enough. And they look at a set of symptom level data that scores almost at a diagnosis level for a single diagnosis of mental health. None of these social determinants of mental health are built into those questionnaires, and none of those questions are even coming up many times in the clinical discussions. And we see that as a very big limitation because we see a lot of variability in how patients respond to treatments. And many times, really, this is because of the fact that we don't include those environmental factors in everyday care. And we just look at those single scores, and they are repeated maybe every 3 to 6 months, if a patient's lucky. So when you look at that, it ultimately doesn't provide the kind of data a clinician needs to target better treatments or to make a more informed decision, even about a diagnosis. That you may have a lot of symptoms present in one patient, and it still may not roll up to a single diagnosis that needs to be treated, let's say for depression with Prozac, because that person needs a very different type of service in order to improve. The other aspect of this is that these are not single diagnosis models in general. A lot of patients diagnosed with exactly the same conditions, but their symptoms look very different from each other. So you hardly see someone who has depression that doesn't have anxiety or doesn't have any attention issues. These are all bundled together, but the symptoms look different. One person could be sleeping too much. Another one might not be sleeping enough. Someone with symptoms of depression could be overeating. Someone completely loses appetite. So, when you look at those patients, they look completely different from each other. So in order to really understand and be able to clinically address those two different sets of patients, you have to look at them, number one, at a more granular level, and also to consider their home environment, their cultural environment, to understand if they can receive the type of care that they need, and if they are ultimately going to respond to the type of care that they receive.
Yeah, this sounds really, really hard as a problem to solve. So it almost sounds like you're saying that the context of our lives as patients is really writing this prescription for our mental health, like one person going through one versus another going through another. And that seems relatively understandable. With that in mind, and the fact that our healthcare industry doesn't really do nuance very well, it's hard to code nuance into a SNOMED or an ICD or a CPT code. How do you think that the healthcare system can and should shift to better incorporate these kinds of determinants of mental health?
Well, our healthcare system in general tends to start with reimbursement, right? The first thing that you hear in a clinic is, how do you pay for the service? The primary platforms that are used in a clinic are the electronic health records, which are really administrative and billing, more around the billing processes. They are revenue management systems. And as long as that's where we begin, I think a lot of patient health outcomes become secondary. So I think the thing that I believe that our health institutions really need to do is to look at patients in a more personalized way, look at them in terms of the symptom clusters at a much more granular level, to also identify the fact that the brain is not an independent organ, that they need to understand that the brain symptoms have a lot to do with, number one, yeah, there are some brain conditions that could cause those symptoms, but there are other underlying medical conditions and unrelated to brain. For the GI tract and the gut is very well known now to have a very direct relationship with some of the mental health and other types of, frankly, brain symptoms. So there are underlying medical conditions, there are underlying brain conditions, and then there are those non-medical drivers of mental health, which we just talked about as social determinants of mental health. They all need to be considered at a granular level and assess each patient based on the comprehensive set of symptoms and factors altogether, and even the cultural limitations and barriers of a patient in order to provide the right type of intervention. And I call it intervention because it's really outside of just medications. We tend to medicate everyone who has a mental health symptom with, you know, kind of first with one type of drug and see if it works or not. And we don't realize that when you let them, you know, go through this process, you effectively create a lifelong set of challenges for them. That if they are treated at the symptom level and early at the symptom level with consideration of their environment, many times you could even delay the onset or completely eliminate a chronic condition for the patients. And I think our health institutions need to really look at not just in behavior, frankly, it's across all healthcare, but in behavioral healthcare, I think it's specifically much more challenging because of the fact that there is no lab test, for example, that says, oh, you have depression, the way you do with diabetes, that says, oh, here's your blood sugar. Because of its challenges, I think this is, I mean, the mental health becomes a much more, it is much more instrumental in behavioral health for clinicians to really have access to that level, that granular level of data, and to personalize the assessment and the treatment of those patients and create a comprehensive intervention with that in mind. There's also, these are also single observations, right? You see a psychiatrist every 3 to 6 months for medication updates. One episodic view of the patient is never sufficient. A patient looks very different in clinic in front of a psychiatrist than they do at home, than they do with their parents, than they do at school. Like, these are all different environments with different observers. And I think having access to that data is also as important as that single observation by a clinician, and having that comprehensive set of data is going to be very important for a clinician to make a more informed decision during the visit, which is something that TRAIT has done. We've created a more personalized continuous tracking of symptom level data, and also these influencers and life challenges in day-to-day clinical care in order to provide all of that information to the clinician at the time of visit, so they can make that more informed decision about the assessment and the, you know, patient progress over time, and also what kind of treatment they should be adjusting or providing for that patient. I think those are the things that are really missing in current standard of care, and leaving the clinician in a difficult place to make decisions, and really leaving a patient population that is showing extremely poor outcomes. This is probably second to cancer in terms of the outcomes that we see, which is one of the reasons why insurances have not been traditionally reimbursing those services as well, because the outcomes just don't look promising. And I do think that changing the clinical care, changing the way we assess and treat patients, is going to really make a difference.
Nice. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Healthcare Now Radio. This is Trending Now. I'm Shahid Shah, and I'm talking to Malike Amini at TRAIT Health. We're having a fascinating conversation about how TRAIT is transforming the landscape of mental health care by addressing the complex interplay of social determinants and our mental well-being. We've covered a lot of topics here about how difficult it is to treat patients with mental health issues. I almost like to say that behavioral health is a second-class citizen to physical health, and most of our practitioners in that field generally agree with that. So moving forward, Malike, let's jump in a little bit more into TRAIT itself. You've been instrumental in not just increasing access to care, but in also pioneering methods for using the data to provide better care. So provide a little context on that access to care and then the data that you're collecting. But it looks like a huge task to deal with mental health as a subject area. Share a little bit about how you got here to TRAIT. Why are you working on this? And what's your unique approach from a solution perspective?
Sure. So just to give you maybe a little bit of history, because I think that would kind of, define the journey and where we are today. I am an engineer by background. I started the company about 9 years ago. I'm an engineer by background and also a cognitive scientist by background. And so this is my, honestly, traditionally in my engineering days, the first few years, I applied my engineering education in aeronautics and in automotive industries, but looking at very similar concepts, right? To go from point A to point B in an aircraft, safely and efficiently, you have to consider many, many different factors, including the laws of physics and weather and environment. And so conceptually, it really applied a similar set of theories, set of considerations to create really complex set of data and analyze them and simplify them in a way that reduced the cognitive load on a pilot, right, to safely fly that plane and also to make sure that all the other factors around the aircraft itself are functioning properly. Nothing about this is different in behavioral healthcare, but that's kind of where I started. And then I got my MBA, started the consulting work at the Boston Consulting Group. And, you know, at BCG in Boston, I was really exposed to healthcare as an industry and, you know, learned about the business models and the various different aspects of healthcare and did a lot of work on disease management because of my history in the clinical space and in engineering, did disease management technology work in healthcare. And so since then, I've basically been about almost 30 years in healthcare and healthcare technology space with a lot of focus on disease management and, again, building these large data models and scaling them to be able to provide the type of analysis that looks at complex data sets and simplifies them for decision-making and creates decision-making opportunities. And so that's sort of a little bit about my background. I got more hands-on involved and started to build this company when I myself, as a parent, had to navigate this very complex brain space and really understood how the complexity of brain and the complexity of the brain disorders and the way we've oversimplified within the clinical care, we've oversimplified the systems is leading to the kind of outcomes I was seeing with my own child and I was experiencing on my own. And so, you know, with doing some of that research, I identified this gap where which we discussed, right? The current standard of care is oversimplifying into these periodic, questionnaire-based, episodic observations, excluding all the other aspects that are really relevant to diagnosing and treating a patient. And it was very clear to me that the evidence was there, the research had been done, but that we didn't have the systems, we're not built as a healthcare system to be doing that because we start with reimbursement and we need diagnostic codes. We immediately go into a very different model of assessing patients that really doesn't apply in, you know, in brain disorders. And so I decided to, you know, venture into building this platform that would ultimately transform the clinical observations and the treatment paths for behavioral healthcare. And that's sort of how I landed here. There were three sets of principles behind what I started, which we've talked about sort of during the conversation. First was all patient health data at symptom level. Again, you can't do these questionnaires. Patients all diagnose the same way, but it's the cluster of those symptoms that matter. And the cluster needs to include more than just your brain symptoms. It has to include a lot more brain symptoms, medical symptoms, and those social determinants of mental health as a combination will provide the kind of data a clinician needs. So that would be the all patient health data. The second one was the entire ecosystem around the patient. Again, a single observation is not sufficient for a clinician to make a good decision. So everyone around that patient that's observing the patient will play a role in providing the, you know, kind of completing that picture for a clinician. And so all patient, the entire ecosystem and collaboration across those observers. And then the third piece of it was access for all. Two reasons for the access for all. One was obviously a very important societal factor. The shortage is very real. People really don't have access. And I, you know, I was sitting on the Baylor, on the board of Baylor College of Medicine. So I had very quick access into a clinic that has had a 2000 patient wait list. And that from a societal perspective was extremely difficult to digest for me. And there is a real problem. There is a shortage and there's a huge disparity in that as well. So the one person, very privileged 1%, top 1% has access to services because they sit in private practices. 60% are sitting in private practices because of insurance reimbursements. So the other 99% has even a smaller pool to actually be able to reach in order to receive the type of care that they need. So that access by itself was a real problem. But in the second piece of access is, if we were to transform this, and my goal was to transform how behavioral health is assessed and treated, if we wanted to really address it, the population that doesn't have any kind of access and is either reaching ER level and only they hit the ER, they harm themselves or they harm somebody else because they don't have any access. This is the path for them is very challenging. But as a company that is looking at transforming this, we didn't have access to that patient population until they hit ER. And so if we didn't see the progression of their conditions, they typically have higher risk factors. They typically are very quickly escalating to places that are way beyond chronic and in crisis all the time. And they typically are not provided the type of care they need to stay out of that crisis mode. Getting access to that data and creating the data on those risk factors was instrumental for us to transform the clinical care and the science in this area. And so those three elements all became kind of, to me, gave only one direction, which is the holistic view of a patient, a 360 degree view, all patient health, the entire ecosystem, and every patient in this category had to be considered if we wanted to transform this, the therapeutic area together, altogether.
Yeah, makes sense. So the last couple of minutes that we have, let's delve into two quick areas. One, who buys what Trait builds and what do they install? What do they do? And then that'll take me into the final question, which is, you've invented a new language to talk about mental health and other areas. So we'll talk about that as the last question before we sign off. So who buys this and what do you install?
So we have very much focused on areas where we where we enable access for all patients. The primary area we focused on, the people who really buy our platform ultimately are going to be chairs of psychiatry sitting in large hospitals. But there are many different ways of engaging them. So the way we have worked with the system, because it addresses, again, all of those three important elements, are to really start our work with the psychiatry access programs that are funded by state or federal agencies in healthcare or in the Department of Education, for example, or a combination of all. And they are providing the right type of, their goal is to provide the right type of care at the right time, exactly where the patients are, so they don't have to rely on the psychiatrist. So we've really enabled primary care physicians, school counselors, and school systems to be able to provide a venue with some support from psychiatrists, but not, a referral per se, to provide care for the students or for the patients in primary care at symptom level and to provide the treatment where they are. These are programs that are growing nationally. Especially when it comes to primary care, they're standardized, they replicate everywhere, and it's very quick for us to deploy the product across those areas. And it really serves all three purposes. We really do see social determinants of mental health much closer. We do provide access to the entire population at once. And we really do get the kind of data we need in terms of clinical data to be able to create those types of analytics that a clinician will need to make a better decision at the end of the day. So that's really where we focus. We are now expanding our work to really just be in direct psychiatry systems. Any health system with a psychiatry clinic can use our application in day-to-day care. But because we're an ecosystem platform, the primary care has a portal, the school counselor has a portal, the clinician has a portal, and then we have patient and caregiver facing applications. All of them are putting data into the application, and the psychiatrist is ultimately the moderator of all of that data and is providing care at the time of visit, having all of that information at their disposal.
Now, that sounds like such a very cool system, and glad to see that you're able to connect now directly with hospitals and health systems to help out entire departments. But what I really loved is pulling in the educational teams, the social care networks as they were. So all of this is fantastic. Thank you so much for your insightful perspectives on this very important understanding of social determinants of mental health and the need for comprehensive approaches. Very, very important. And to our listeners, thank you so much for joining us on Trending Now on Healthcare Now Radio for this very engaging discussion. Stay tuned for more episodes as we explore the latest trends and innovation shaping healthcare's future. Thanks again, and we'll join you soon.
Thank you.